Well, what can I tell you? We will try to say something that relates to where we are. Therefore, in the light of everything, looking to God to help us in every way, so if we can, and before you turn in your Bible, just keep in mind, we have warnings. I just told Jeanette when I left that I said the Eversource was very specific yesterday and said you could be without power several days and have food and everything, and we got all wound up to make sure we could survive several days. But we only needed to survive several minutes. So, the warning was sounded. Preparation was made to a great extent, I'm sure. But then the threat disappeared. And therefore, that happens. Sometime there's no warning, like going back to what I remember. In 1938, the hurricane, terrible hurricane, in 1938. And they knew it was coming up the coast, but the people, there was warning, but no warning. And people just assumed nothing. And all of a sudden, there's the hurricane. Whew, a bad one. So sometime there's warning and there's not much of anything. And other times there's warning, no warning, and boy, and no preparation. And boy, that can become very troublesome. Therefore, in the light of the storm, in the light of what we are being exercised, Ezekiel chapter 33. And I know some came this morning, but when I found out it's too late, but I did tell George to leave the doors open. So before you ever got out of bed, the doors were left open. So that now, Ezekiel chapter 33. And Ezekiel 33, remember in the days of Jeremiah and Nebuchadnezzar. So therefore, in chapter 33, picking up please, in verse 2. Son of man, speak to the children of my people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast, and set him for their watchman. And if, when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he bloweth the trumpet and warn the people. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not N-O-T, warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. In other words, we pay attention to the message. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not, doesn't give warning, blow not the trumpet, and the people be not wearied, if the sword come, and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at the hand of the watchman. The watchman's job is to do the job. That's his job. He doesn't have any choice. When he sees the storm, say so. See the storm coming, say so. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, as we're looking out in the light of that, how do people react to the storm? How do they look and see it? Well, Nahum, and chapter 1, when they see the storm. So God, chapter 1, Nahum, verse 2. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries. He reserveth wrath for his enemies. Verse 3. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power. He will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. So God, you do what you do. Down to verse 6. Who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire. The rocks are thrown down by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knoweth them that trust in him. So God, you're sending a storm, I am. And we'll pick that up in a sec, perhaps. Now, having said the storm, he knows in verse 7, he knoweth them that trust in him. Okay, over to Isaiah 55. Psalm 55. Isaiah 55 is all right, but Psalm 55. And in Psalm 55, David is facing Absalom's rebellion. His son is taking a whole part of the Israeli nation under his wing. And so David is very much under the weather because, being discouraged down, because his kingship is taken away, his position is taken away, and it's his son doing it. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, if I can, in Isaiah chapter 55. So there is great rebellion taking place. We think of our country at the moment, and our country is in a very difficult situation. It has promoted it and produced it over many years without anyone stopping it. And thus the flower has got onto the plant, and the flower is blooming. We're seeing it. Before, you just see a plant green and, you know, so what? Now it's blossoming. So, and all of that is true in a many, many ways that we need not say at this point. And therefore, there is great concern. Because what happens to the republic, like David, what happens to his throne, his king, his kingship? So therefore, in Psalm 55, picking up in verse 4, my heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come unto me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. Wow, foes, the fears, they're many. Now sliding down to verse 6. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would find refuge. And for the light, his cry, his cause. He's looking for rest. He's looking for rest. Verse 16. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. For he hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. For there were many with me, many withstood with David, but the great many were against him. A great many were against him. So here's David. And David said, if I could just have wings. The trouble is with wings, God, do you always help us escape? No, David isn't going to escape. He's going through the exercise of rebellion, of revolution. He's going through it. God lets us go through everything. Not everything, but many, many things. But he's faithful. Now, David, going back a little while earlier, King David, before he was king, King Saul wanted to kill him. So when you go over to Psalm 11, David was looking for God to rescue him. And in Psalm 11, picking up, please, and you recall, his friends were telling him, David, go run and hide, because they're trying to, Saul's trying to kill you. Now, where are you going to go, David? To escape. He hid in a cave. He did all kinds of things to go and try to escape. His friends were warning him. But his heart, the trouble is, we often listen to the news. We listen to our friends. We listen to people that seem to care and love us, to the neglect of looking to God. And we don't look to God. God's the winner. When everything's done, God overrides everyone, all your feelings, and all your fears. That's what David said in verse Psalm 55. God overcomes me, helps me. I don't know how to fix Absalom, but God does. Now here's David with King Saul, and his friends were saying, you need to go hide. His reaction, remember, verse 1. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountains. Run and hide, run and hide. Where are you going to run to? And where are you going to hide? You're always in the presence of God. Psalm 139. You're always in the presence of God. So the presence of evil is all around us. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. They're always there. They don't go away. Darkness doesn't go away. Evil doesn't go away. The Satan's plan isn't going to stop. It's in pursuit, hot pursuit of being fulfilled. So therefore, David said, I'm not going to flee. For lo, the wicked bend their bow and make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. They're trying to get it. But, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, the righteous, remember, here's our Republic Constitution Declaration. Well, but, what were the founding fathers doing? They had written the document. Before they even did the documents, they were trusting God. That's what they did. So what do you do when the documents are not even there? God didn't disappear, and therefore you keep on trusting. So when the foundation is disappearing and all the things that seems to cause you to be stabilized in our country, in our world, in your city, in your heart, all those things are there. But God is still there. And therefore, David, in verse 4, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try, test the children of men. God, like you read in Nahum, God is sending a storm. He's sending a storm. He's going to allow the storm to come. He isn't going to make it go away. So therefore, sliding down, verse 7, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, his countenance doth uphold the upright. God is looking rightly at everything and everyone, and he is going to work out everything. So therefore, like Psalm 55, I don't have wings to I can't run here, Psalm 11. I can't run. Where am I going to run to? To escape. And I think of those things. I think of Afghanistan and the horribleness of that situation. And if you were there as an American for some reason, and you didn't get your, here's this big country, and you're there, here's the airport way over here, and then what are you doing? Well, boy, what am I going to do? Well, here's the crowd moving. Here's the bad guys stopping, testing everything. And so what do you do? I think I'd sit tight. That's what I think I'd do. No sense in running. Did you ever think of that, being in a fire? A building, and they've happened all over the place, up in Hartford, et cetera, Rhode Island, all over. And you have a fire like that. And what do you know? And I think of Jeanette, you know. And I said, Jeanette, now here's Jeanette. And I have to say, everyone sit down, because we're coming with the walker up through the crowd. And the crowd says, oh, yes. And the crowd all sits down so I can get Jeanette through. Do you remember that? Think that would happen? Nothing doing. Sit tight. Sit tight. If the fire's going to get you, it's going to get you, but you're going to see an opening. You're going to panic and get caught in the panic, and you're in trouble because they're all panicking, moving. Wrong time to be in that crowd. Stay out of that crowd if you can. That doesn't mean you don't run when your house is on fire, etc. Now, so here we are looking, and so David, where are you going to run to? Well, we can't run, but without turning there in Isaiah chapter 40, 30, we are to have wings as what? Eagles. We can't run through it, but we can look to God above, who's going to get us where he wants us to be. So we aren't looking for the solution here. David, you aren't looking for the solution. No, I'm looking to God. 55, Psalm 11. I'm looking to God. God will get us through. That's what will happen. God will get us through all this awesome, wonderful stuff. Now, having said that little bit, so the fearlessness, I don't need to have fear. I should have fearlessness. And I don't need to be afraid. The normal reaction is to be afraid. So, having said that little bit, and in the light of that, now God, you're able to do what you do in a most wonderful way. So here's the storm. Over, if I can, out to Revelation. And Revelation gives plenty of warning to those that will listen to warning. And if they don't listen, of course, they don't get warned. So therefore, Revelation chapter 1, chapter 3. Oh no, chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. And God tells us what's going to happen after he takes us up. Revelation 4 and 5, we're up sitting with God on the throne of grace. And we come to chapter 6, which is now what's going to happen. The storm was coming. And therefore, the storm isn't going to be easy, to say the least. There's going to be a need for a man, a solution. They're all looking for it now. Countries are looking for it. China's doing what it's doing. Russia's doing what it's doing. And all of those, Iran and all of that, all of them are doing what they're doing. And Europeans are going to have to what? They're looking, because they can't look to us. They can't look to us. They're not looking to us. They've condemned us for our failure. So therefore, they're looking. And in particular, I say that because you're looking for a man. You're looking for a solution. And the solution isn't in the United States. They're going to look for a man. And he's going to come out of Europe, out of those 10 nations. That's where the man's going to come from. So they're looking there. Before, we could look to America for allies. We could count them, but you can't do that now. They know that. And to repair it, not likely. Now, so therefore, here's Revelation, and it's coming. A man's coming. And then what's coming? then what's coming? Well, there's going to be the peace, a peace seemingly a calm down for the building of the temple in Jerusalem, etc., with the Muslims and all of that, enough to make it, but then that's all going to disappear. And then there's going to come, what? Our bread going to come. Our peace is going to be gone. We're going to come and behold, the balance is at hand, famine, war, death. Those are horrible things. And they make Afghanistan look like nothing. So back to Afghanistan. It's a horrible time. And the tribulation, where do you run? In fact, if you're in chapter 6, turn over. So you say, where do you run? Where do you hide? Chapter 6, and picking up. And in verse 15, the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman, employee, employer, every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come. And who should be able to stand? And you just read that in Nahum. The storm's coming. That's going to happen. Now, I'm warning you. Did you hear the warning? No. No, because then you think of Peter. They say what? Where is the promise of his coming? Where is it? We just did that with Jeremiah a week ago, Wednesday. Where is the promise of his coming? We can't find a promise. He hasn't come. He doesn't come. He doesn't come. He doesn't come. He isn't coming. That's how we are. Wow. So now, having said that little bit, chapter 3, God warned us in a thousand different ways. Here's one of them. Chapter 3, church in Philadelphia, chapter 3, verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, bearing up under the load. You didn't back off, you didn't back down, you didn't back away, you didn't say it's never going to happen. You listened to the warning and kept your heart keen, ready for the battle, so that you didn't lose heart, you didn't faint, you didn't become full of fear and fright. You kept your heart right. And because, verse 20:10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, trouble, tribulation, which shall come upon Jerusalem. It doesn't say that. It's the kind of tribulation that comes in the whole world. Verse 10, and upon the earth. God's going to do something, Revelation 6, on the whole business of the world and all the nations of the world. So in the process of doing that, he's going to do it, but I'm going to keep you from it. That's what I'm going to do. So that's your encouragement. I'm going to keep you from that so you don't have to sit in fear and fright and do that. So in the process, of that, over if I can to 1 Corinthians 14. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and you will note in the languages, if you do a whole lot of things that confuse people in the church, remember sliding over just to connect it in your mind, if you like, chapter 14, going over, if I can, to verse 23. Wherefore, tongues, languages, are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them that believe. That's verse 22. Verse 23. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, languages, and there come in those that are unlearned, unbelievers, will they not say they're mad, crazy? And you probably never had that experience, but years ago, the charismatic movement was very active and alive More so, I think, than it is today. I don't know that, but I think so, maybe. Because it was very alive everywhere, and it got into Protestant denominations, the Presbyterians were doing it, and everyone were doing it. So in the process of all of that activity, and they'd walk down the aisles and hit them, and they'd fall down and did all kinds of things. And you would have to say, those people, where are they coming from? But to the people doing it, it was very real. That's what they did. They, hallelujah. They did everything that they did. Now, so having said that, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 23, they'll say you're crazy. But if you bring the word of God, they're going to know, as you know, in verse 25, and there are the secrets of his heart made manifest. So falling down on his face, he will worship God. The unsaved, the unlearned, they're going to know what? See God. And report, announce, present tense, they're going to keep doing it, that God is in you of a truth. That's what they're going to say. What did they discover when they went to church? The assembly in Corinth. God was there. Even though they were all had their problems, God was there. So, chapter 14, picking that up in thought, verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, languages, what shall I profit you? Except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge, or by prophecy, or by doctrine. In other words, if I say something, you don't understand what I'm saying, what good is it? You need to understand what I'm saying. It needs to be clear, like in Ezra. Clear, simple, plain, direct, understand. That's what it needs to be. Therefore, verse 6, or verse 7, and even things without this life, giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinct distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? If the warning of the trumpet, if the sound isn't clear, is it an all relief? Is it a retreat? Is it an attack? Do we sit tight? Do we run? Is the sound clear? What do we do in the light of the being warned? The television or the radio says, warning, warning. Flood warning, you see. What do we do? If it isn't clear, verse 8. And if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? Well, no one. We don't know what to do. So here's the sound, the storm, and all of these things. Now, what do? Well, we do the best we can and ended up not having to fight, mostly. So now, having said that a little bit, chapter 15. And in chapter 15, what are we going to know? Well, the sound has to be clear. So chapter 15, going if I can, verse 51. Brethren, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. When? When? Verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Clear sound. Of all the different sounds and all the different messages, God's going to give one. And when God gives the sound, it'll all take place, because God's going to give it. Just, if you didn't get that, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And you know it. Watch it again. Verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. God, you're going to do it. I don't have uncertain sounds. My word is not uncertain. And when you read it, I give you warning, I give you understanding so you know, and we have. Think, well, here you are, you're looking at it. Chapter 5, picking up, please, in verse 1. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So, remember the hurricane of 38? Hurricane. No warning, like it is today. It wasn't made able then. Well, God said, I give you warning. I give you warning. And in the process, I'm going to go, and absolutely, I've given you warning. Here we are, Thessalonians, way up in the beginning of the epistles. And here's the warning. And the warning is, I'm coming soon. That's what I'm doing. I told you that. At the beginning, what are you going to tell the believers starting in Pentecost? I'm coming. I'm coming. So we're looking for your return, Lord, right? And when you hear the sound, don't even debate. You're just going to go. I'm going to take you. There's no uncertainty about it. So that's what's going to happen. The world doesn't believe Revelation 6. But then when it happens, they're all going to try to hide and run because there's no place to go. It's too late. Like we read in Jeremiah on Wednesday. God said the day is coming. You don't believe, you don't believe, you don't believe. But you can be sure when the storm starts hailing 100-pound hailstones, you know it's going to happen. You know it's going to happen. So there's no question then. Nope, you won't have a question. If you don't believe, you will. You will. So therefore, having said that, keeping that in mind a little bit, over if you would, over in closing, why not? Mark. You can go to Luke, but we'll go to Mark. And in Mark chapter 4, and remember, God provides storms. God uses storms. Even when there isn't any, he makes them sometime for his own advantage, particularly to do something. All storms are governed by him, of course. But sometime he does special things to help us. A storm in your life. A storm in your life doesn't happen in the other guy's life. It happens in your life. God allowed that storm. It didn't happen over here. It didn't happen back there. But it happened to you. The storm. God allowed it. God has his reasons to do and outwork his wonderful will in trial and tribulation. Therefore, in teaching the disciples, you remember the wonderful illustration that he did. And where it did. Chapter 4, verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And remember, if you think of the Sea of Galilee and the mountains up north, when the wind comes, the wind slides like a roller coaster. It comes across the mountain, and there's no more mountains, and it goes right down into the Galilean Sea. And when that water hits like an iceberg, hits the water, whew, tidal wave, wow, here comes the waves. Therefore, verse 38, and he was in the hinder, the rear of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, Master, remember the ship is full of water. You would think he'd wake up, would put his hand down, it'd be all wet, you know, but he didn't wake up. He was awake anyway. Now verse 38. And on a pillow, he was asleep, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we are perishing? So they determined as professional fishermen that they were at the end of their line and their little fishing vessel was no more going to be. Verse 39, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Now God did that. Now, when you and I, we can't have to sometime, we can't have wing, we can't run from it, but we can have wings as eagles and rise above and look to God. And God has no problem. No problem. Storm, the storm God, do you know? Absolutely, the storm is there, without any question. So God, we aren't, whether it is or it isn't, how it's going to go, God, you know that. So therefore, if I can, I end verse 39. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Verse 40. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Why are you worried? Either you're trusting me or not. But you're asleep. God neither slumbers nor sleeps. But it looks like you're asleep. It looks like you don't care, God. I'm going through whatever in my life, and it looks like you don't care. God, do something. Well, God is. God's outworking his wonderful will to conform us to his image. That's what he's doing in a most wonderful way. And that's personal. And God's very personal and wonderful now. So therefore, they needed to have faith. And they realized what? Verse 41. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? What kind of God is it? And like in Deuteronomy chapter 3, and I think 24, what God is there in heaven on earth that can do what you do, God? That's wonderful. No one can do what you do. That's right. So looking up, not looking out, because the storm's horrible. Wow, category number 4. Wow, wow. What are you going to do? Well, going to look to God, and God's going to help us. Because in the midst of the storm is a great calm called the eye of the storm. And the eye of the storm is sunny and wonderful. But you're in the eye. God, what are you going to do? I'm going to keep you. As the apple, little black thing, which is I'm working on, the black thing where you pupil, where you see. I keep you as the apple of my eye. That's what I do. That's very precious to us, you know. I don't know. That's something in the last minute. I hope it helped you. I didn't give you Sundays because if I give you Sundays and then they come Sunday and I do the next part and the people that least want to missed how they got to the second part. So they're all asking themselves, how did I ever get to part 2? And they're trying to figure how to get there. Well, I need to get them at part 1 so they get to part 2. So this is just a little bit. The storm just gave us an exercise, a wonderful exercise. So we'll pray. Appreciate your everything. And you can see how early I stop now. And it's a new thing. What can I tell you? We'll pray. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness. And here we are. So God, we look out, storm and no storm, rain and no rain. And God, we have to proceed. And you're going to be faithful in the midst of it. And God, we're going to look up so that we can look down properly. Otherwise, we look down and we don't have answers and don't know how to solve anything. But when we look to you, that isn't even in question. And you do what you do, what you're doing, and how you're doing, no matter how it looks. God, your grace is sufficient. Your mercy is awesome. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Give safety, encouragement to each dear heart, God, even now. Here we are, just us. Thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.